Good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I had to come on this show this morning laughing because they already had me laughing backstage. We've been having a wonderful conversation, and I am sure you're going to enjoy this show. But you know what? I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go ahead and share this show because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. And what kind of friend would? I mean, look at the information we deliver every morning, weekdays at 8 a.m. We allow you to speak to the experts, the influencers, to ask questions from the people who know. So go ahead and share the show. And while you're sharing, I'm going to go ahead and introduce my first guest. And of course, by now you should recognize her name, you should recognize her face, and we'll see if you recognize her business because almost every week, every Monday, she is here with us and she is here to help you. I want to go ahead and introduce the organization maven, Allison Allman. Good morning, Allison. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I am excited. It's a new week. It's Monday. Things are awesome.
You
I'm
know
here.
what? I'm glad you're here. And it was interesting that you opened up with I'm excited. And one of the reasons why I love having you here is you're always excited. You're always happy. You're always positive. You're always going. And you do that personally and professionally. What keeps you going, Allison?
Oh, there's just a lot going on. I have a lot of plans and things happening and projects starting. There's a lot of like behind the scene projects going on, and so I can't always share about everything. But then when a new project starts, I'm all excited. It's like opening a puzzle box or something. I get really excited about it, and I'm ready to tackle the project at hand. And that's why I scheduled this for Monday mornings for me to show up and be part of the show so that I had an awesome week and I got my dose of you and everyone in for the day and the week.
I love that. I mean, that is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. But for those rare people who have been hiding under a rock who don't know what you do, tell us a little bit about your company.
So I'm the organization maven. I help busy and overwhelmed people by organizing their homes. Currently, I've switched over to organizing garages to maintain social distancing and still calm their anxiety. There's been a lot of transformations happening where people are now using their garages as additional living spaces, such as they're turning them into one car garage on one side, and the other side is a home gym. The other side is the man cave. There's been a couple of, I can't call it a she shed, but it's a section of a couch and a mini fridge, and the mom goes out and hides out there while the kids are inside. There's also distance learning being set up out in the garage. So I come along and I transform their garage from piles of clutter into the living space that they need it to be. And most of my projects happen in 6 or 7 hours on a Saturday or a weekday, but I did it all in one session and I haul away all their donations, their hazardous waste, their e-waste, and some trash. It kind of depends along the lines of if it fits in my truck, I take it. If it doesn't, we figure out a plan B, whether it's a trash pickup or a trash bin, or they're friends with their neighbors and we dump it in their neighbor's trash, something along those lines, just to get it all out and taken care of. And then I never really talk about this service because it's kind of like a secret menu service where I go and pack people up when people are moving. People are overwhelmed in general for the whole moving process. And so I come in and pack up a person's whole home into boxes, organized efficiently in about 3 days. And I pack up a whole house in 3 days. Everything is packed up. The only thing movers have to do is show up and dismantle furniture and load boxes. Like there is nothing for the moving company to do because I've packed up everything and labeled everything. And then I go and unpack in the new house, and I set up the new house. I put up shower curtains and make beds and set up the kitchen all in about 2.5 to 3 days. I've done it in as little as 5 hours, where I set up a 2-bedroom condo and I completely unpacked every box and organized everything in 5 hours. And then the longest it's taken me was 5 days. I unpacked a mansion. It was, I don't know, 5+ bedrooms, and I set up all the rooms, all the bedding. I made all the beds. I set up the knickknacks. You open any drawer in the kitchen, it was all organized. All the closets, all the clothes were put away in the closets. You wouldn't even know that the person had moved in 5 days prior. And I also broke down all the boxes and disposed of all the packing materials. So when you walked in the door, it just was a really nice house. There's no boxes, there's no nothing. So that's happening this week. I'm going to LA and I'm packing up a whole house in 3 days, and then I'm unpacking the house in 2 days. So it's pretty much I'm working from today through Saturday. That's it. It's exciting. I love it. My clients are so overwhelmed when it comes to any kind of project that when I come in, I'm like the hero. They can continue doing their lives without the stress of, okay, now I got to do with this. And what do I do with this? And what's going on with that? And where should I put this? And where's my toothbrush? Like, I eliminate all of those fears and anxiety and save the day.
You are amazing. That is so wonderful. And what's so interesting is over time, show after show, we get to learn a little bit more. And you always offering us a little bit more. So this is a new service. But one of the things that you said that interests me is the whole aspect of when you show up to a certain extent, it's almost like an intervention, right? I would be afraid to go into some homes and tell people what they need to let go of or what they need to release, let's say. But you don't. You go in, quarters, homes, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You go in, you cut to the chase, and you make it happen. I think that has a certain level of confidence. How do you get the confidence to go in and tell people what they need to let go of?
A lot of it is experience. I'd have to say that I was more of a softie when I first started, where I kind of let a lot of people keep things because I didn't know how to give them the confidence that they could get rid of it. Then as time went on, and I've now done like over 100 garages, and in the past 2 years, I've had 400 clients. So I don't know how that breaks down into what is what, because I haven't really figured it out. But like I said, in the beginning, I was a real softie and I kind of let them keep whatever they wanted. And I kind of just made it all work. And then later when I checked back, I'm like, did you use this item? Did you use that item? And they're like, no, I've never really used it before. And now you moved it to a more accessible place, but I still don't use it. And I was like, so then why didn't we get rid of it? And you're like, I don't know, you're the organizer. Why didn't you make me get rid of it? And I go, oh, okay. I didn't realize I was supposed to do that. So as time went on, I got a little stronger and stronger and stronger on, I don't want to say it's tough love, because I'm very compassionate for my clients' belongings. Anything that has, I guess I can hear the love in their voice when they start talking about this item, and they'll most of the time tell me a story as to why they're keeping this item. And if I can hear enough love in their inflection of their voice, then I know this is a treasured item. Doesn't mean it needs to be out on display. It means that we still need to keep it and it goes in long-term storage. But if they kind of go, then I'm like, okay, let's get rid of it. If you don't like it, or you don't really have that much love for this item, then there's no need for us to keep it. Let's just donate it. Let's let another family love it. Let's let a single mom love it. Let's let another person enjoy this item and love it. So I'd have to say I've gotten more stronger as time goes on, but at the same time, so compassionate. Like, I listen to their body language. I listen to their inflection and their voice. I see how much dust is on the item. If there's a huge layer of dust on the item and they don't have that much love for it, I go, great, we're going to get rid of it. And then there's a few times I have to play negotiator with people where they're like, I have to keep this item. And to me, it's not an important item. Like, it's something that it's not a long-term memory item. It's something they bought at Target and they really like. But then as we get along, they're like, oh, I really like this item. And I go, okay, well, you got to make a choice. If you keep this thing from Target that's totally replaceable and you can rebuy it, or this thing that you got from a discontinued company that doesn't make that item anymore, which do you love more? And then they're like, oh, well, I love this discontinued item better. And I go, great, Target thing goes. And then they're like, fine, you know, but at the end, when they see everything completed and I've put everything away and I've made it more accessible and made it everything, all the you know, negotiation talks that we had during the day makes total sense. And then they're like, okay. And then usually once I do one room, like usually any one room, then they have complete trust for me and I have full access to come back and do the rest of the house. So it just, so it's just, yeah, I'd have to say it's just, so now I'm more of a tough lover person, but not in a mean tough love way.
It's very interesting, you know what I mean? That you learned all of that intuitively and that you picked it up, you know, what to do. You mentioned over the last 2 years that you have 400 clients. For the new business owners, small business owners, entrepreneurs who are tuning in, what are some of the things, because 400 clients in 2 years is no small feat. What are some of the things that you did to build your business?
So probably the biggest place that I probably get, well, I got like 80% of my business from was Facebook mom groups. Mm-hmm. So whatever city you live in, you go onto your Facebook search bar and you type in your city. So in our case, we're in Orange County. I could do individual cities too, like Irvine or Fullerton or whatever. And then you type moms and then you go to the filter of groups. And all the groups for your area pop up. And so I joined them because I didn't know any other way to do this. When I made my Facebook page 8 years ago, I didn't know where to advertise it. Because also 8 years ago, social media wasn't like how it is now. Like we had maybe Yelp, but we didn't have any real other platforms. So I didn't know how to get people to know who I exist without having to pay for a Yelp ad. I don't know if it was on Yelp yet, but I mean, I just didn't know what to do for marketing. So I joined a mom's group for other reasons. I joined the mom's group like for teething things on my kid and what to do if my kid has a fever or where's the best park to play at. But I noticed a lot of moms used the groups as a vent place and who do you recommend? And it was very, if a mom used a certain stroller cleaning company, then when someone posted, hey, someone, my kid threw up in my stroller, who do I call? Those moms that used the stroller company, cleaning companies would recommend, oh, you got to talk to Jenny, here's their company. So that started to happen. And I'm like, wait, I can start advertising my services. So I had certain keywords that I kept my eye out on. And as soon as I saw someone either complaining about how they have no time and too many toys, the too many toys word phrase was my cue to jump in and go, well, maybe it's time for a declutter. That's one of my services. Here's my page. And then the next one was, are my in-laws are coming and my guest room is, too full. Moms, what do? Do I just make the in-laws get a motel or, you know, hotel? Or do I try to do an air mattress? And I'd go, hey, why don't I come in and declutter your home office and make it a guest room again? Or make it a boat? Why? This is one of my services. Here's my website. Here's my Facebook page. So I did a lot of that. Also, 8 years ago, I was doing grocery shopping for clients and I was doing laundry services and I was doing pet sitting and I was doing like 100 other services. So that actually was turned into keywords. Hey, I'm going out of town and I need someone to watch my baby and my dog, you know, my fur baby, not my real baby. And I don't want it to go to a vet or a kennel because it gives them anxiety. Can't someone just come to my house and stay? And I go, yeah, I can. That's one of my services. Put my page. So that just kind of snowballed into, and the other key with doing all the recommending my page, I didn't just jump in and say, here's my page. Bye, bye, bye. I still commented on the other threads to kind of give a presence in the group. So I just wasn't there for selling. So I quickly got known as a connector and someone with great advice. And then would say, who do you recommend as a house cleaner? And I started making friends with house cleaners so I could give referrals. And then anyone else I started connecting with, I just looked for those keywords. So I have done quite, even to this day, anyone says I'm looking for an in-home pet groomer, right away I go, oh, you got to check out Alicia. I tag Alicia's Facebook page and I go, she comes straight to your home and she'll bathe your dog in your bathtub or in your garage or wherever she sets up shop. She doesn't have a van. She actually goes into people's homes. But anyways, and then I do a screenshot of the group that I suggested her tagged her in. And then I send her a text. Just so you know, I posted your information in a group that has 30,000 women. So you might get an influx of calls. And that's why.
That is wonderful. Those are tips. Those are strategies that we definitely need to learn about, to learn. And I love that you're always tagging, you're always supporting, you're always sharing. So as always, I'm going to come back to you, Allison. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And it's just, you know, how life is. We will have you two here on the same show. But I want to introduce a dear friend of mine, someone I love. Every time I need a hug, I go and run to her store. But we're not only going to talk about her store, we're going to talk about her story today. I want to introduce Karen Estremo. She is the owner of the OC's best and most complete metaphysical store, The Dragon and the Rose. Good morning, Karen. How are you?
You're muted. We're having some technical
difficulties.
Oh, there we go.
Good morning. Technology. Yikes. Except for technology, I'm good. How's everybody?
I'm excited to have you here.
Before we get started, I want to give a shout out to Allison. She has worked on my garage once, the back room at the shop once, and the back room, or the work room at the shop once. Oh my golly. I don't know, Allison, you probably don't know this because it's kind of been a secret until like right this minute. We're taking over the suites next to us. So we're going to be moving some things around. I may need you in a week or two because yikes.
Okay.
Well, congratulations. Congratulations. So just since we made that huge announcement on the Roundtable Talk Show, I'm going to dig into that a little deeper because what it sounds to me is that you may be expanding.
Correct? We are expanding and we are kind of spreading out a little bit. Here's the thing. Do you know what a blivet is?
I do not. Share it with me.
A blivet is 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag. And that is what my environment is most of the time. There's not enough horizontal surfaces in the world. I have no place to work. Okay. We have so many projects. This new space is going to give me an office that's actually an office.
Mm-hmm.
A workroom for Merry Meet Greetings, which is my greeting card company.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm moving all of that stuff from the house, which never gets used there, to the shop where hopefully it will. Mm-hmm. I'm moving my sewing room stuff all to one space in the next thing. And then everybody's going to have their own workspace. Addie will have a workspace. Chantel, my newest assistant, will have a workspace. It's going to be so much better. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I can't wait till Thursday when I get the keys. Oh.
Congratulations, congratulations, congratulations.
So are you going to knock down the walls or are you just going to go into each suite like you do that one suite where the readings happen?
That's actually moving to the new space because the new space is humongous.
Oh, okay.
We're using the annex and just moving it closer. What we're going to have is a doorway that goes from the back room in the shop to the back room of the new space. And it's going to be an employees only thoroughfare because the shop space is staying pretty much the way it is.
Okay.
The only thing, we moved a couple things around so that we have room for the food bank because it's gotten so big that it needed its own space.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be back where the in-house reader person used to sit. I just got Metro shelving and it's like stocked. Everybody's been really generous, which I'm so pleased. Our community is so caring. And if they hear of anybody that needs anything, like people show up, what can I do? They mm-hmm. walk in with bags of food and boxes of food and like, here you go. And the people that come and use it are also like totally amazing because nobody comes in and just wipes stuff out. They come in, they pull a bag and they take what they need for a few days. And like, hopefully in a few days, things will be better. Hey, if it's not, come on back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We gotta feed and take care of our people.
Absolutely. So for those of our viewers who are not familiar with the Dragon and the Rose, tell us a little bit of background on it, please, Karen.
Oh, okay. I don't have any Kleenex, but that's all right.
I cry every time I hear it.
I know, sorry. Okay, well, the Rose and the Dragon and the Rose is my daughter, Ariel. Ariel Rose. She was killed 12 days past her 20th birthday by a drunk driver.
Oh.
This was May 16th of 2008. And April 15th of 2009, we opened up the Dragon and the Rose to be of service to the pagan community in her memory. Mm-hmm. She was a very happy little Wiccan Buddhist Episcopalian. And her approach to things is all gods are God, and there's more than one right way to a path, you know, a relationship with the divine. And she was a traveler. So she connected with everything she could all the time and was a little force of nature, by golly. The dragon in the Dragon and the Rose was the object of her affection at the time of her death. His name is Hugh. Husey is still very much a part of our life. And in fact, when I vacate the toy room at the house, he's moving into that room because he's going to school to be a fireman. And he's taking fire and emergency management and all kinds of stuff. He's already a paramedic. And, you know, so he's my other son. And, you know, anyway, this thing, it started out in the back of a little tiny industrial space in the back end of a building over on Edinger in Santa Ana. And it was tiny and it was loud and whatever. And we had no idea what we were doing. It was completely rinky dink. And people would walk in and they'd say, "Hey, do you have this thing?" And I'd say, "No, should I? Mm-hmm. I'll get that then." And so we did. And we went from that little tiny place, which was 830 square feet, most of which was not floor space for the shop. It was storage and, you know, production area and whatever. The store itself was maybe 300 square feet. It was tiny. Mm-hmm. And then we went from that into the thing we're in right now, which is rather quite lovely. We've been here in this location for 3.5 years. And last month was our busiest month ever. And this month we've nearly doubled it. Mm. I don't even know what's going on, mm-hmm. but every day is amazing. And people walk in, like, "This is my first time here. Mm-hmm. We never knew you existed. I've been mm-hmm. here 11 and a half years. Where have you been?" mm-hmm. But it's amazing. And most of the people who walk through the door are amazing. We get your occasional, you know, cuckoo bananas, but not all the time. Mostly.
No, I think your shop is amazing. I think you are amazing. And I think when people are going through something, they start searching, they start looking, for answers to, you know, life, you know, and I think somehow, some way, whenever you're looking for answers to life, you either wind up in a metaphysical store or in the church or mosque or wherever you are. But at that point, because I know a lot of people during COVID are like, why is all of this happening? So tell us about some of the items you have in the store, Karen.
Well, we have 285 oils. We have about 270 herbs. We've got candles of all descriptions, including some absolutely fabulous candles made by our friend Kelly at Lunum Love. These mm-hmm. things smell beautiful. They work really wonderfully. I just stocked on Saturday morning and the shelves are already half empty. And I'm talking, the shelves were jam packed. I didn't even have the boxes all unloaded yet. And people were like, "Oh, I need that. I need that." And they're taking things off the shelf. I'm like, "Hello, I'm not even done pricing. Get out of here for a minute." soaps are amazing. They smell great all the way through. They're super luxurious, you know, lathery. And oh my God, they're just beautiful. So we also have ritual wear and altar supplies and the largest selection of crystals and stones in Orange County.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm actually heading up to my stone supplier this morning after we're done here because they've just got a big load in from Madagascar. So I'm excited to go see what they've got for me today.
It's exciting. We have to see. Yeah. We have to keep up on what you have going on in the store.
I'll be back. Because worked out and, you know, I'm not scared anymore. we have a bunch of jewelry. A lot of it is stone jewelry set in sterling, but a lot of it is also hand created by people that we know. Mm-hmm. We have statuary and books and divination tools and, you know, just all kinds of things because, you know, stuff.
Stuff. stuff. We have to find out more about all of your stuff, which we will, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, who I know is, this conversation is going to be right on time. I feel it in my spirit. It's just going to all connect. And that's what I've been seeing hosting the show since March 30th. First, I was like, we have all different guests, but I found that we all have something in common. So our next guest is Dr. Zayed Abdul-Karim. He's a speaker, author. He is a professional facilitator. He's a catalyst for growth and inner peace. And he's going to talk to us about his book, 25 Days to Living Your Happiness. Good morning, Dr. Z. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa, Allison, Karen, and all those watching this. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. I'm excited also, Allison. Life, love, happiness, and money, right? I mean, that's what drives everything, right? So I want to share with you kind of a little bit of the backstory, because when this whole COVID thing started, first of all, my wife and I moved from Virginia to San Francisco Bay Area. So we moved across country in March, and then COVID hit hard. So it was a lot of loss for us. And I found myself in a dark place. And I don't get in dark places because I'm the happiness guy. I mean, I've been working on myself, happiness, peace of mind, teaching others, workshops, seminars for years. So rarely do I get in this dark place, but I was there. So I figured if it can happen to me, then is it possible it can happen to you, to all of us? We're all vulnerable. So in that place, I started asking for guidance. Somebody just mentioned about, you know, when you're going through things, you start searching. And I was guided to a formula for resilience, because the human condition really is loss. I mean, you know, your story, Karen, about loss of your daughter, you know, people, Allison, in your work are losing things, losing their home. We've lost jobs. We've lost our routine. All of this going on in the pandemic. And the opposite of that is faithfulness. And when I say faithfulness, I'm not talking about, you know, faith as lip service. I say I'm this or I'm that. It's really about what's in our heart, what's in our soul, what kind of energy are we sending out. I mean, I see your book, Sharifa, All You Need Is Love. Allison mentioned about things that people love. It really is about love, a love energy, and about being sincere and truthful, having integrity, and a lot of other things. So this is the first step. And then from there, production. Useful productivity. You know, I was asking myself, what can I produce that's going to be useful for people? And then the third piece is mutual cooperation. And so this particular formula is what I've been using to get out of that darkness into the light, and been sharing it with people. It's helped me. It's helped a whole lot of other people. And so we do have this, the 25 days to living your happiness. But I also created a specific ebook specifically for this time called Return to Happiness During in Uncertainty, Return to Happiness in Uncertainty, because we all want peace of mind. Yep. And we have to be really conscious and deliberate about the thoughts that we have, emotions we have, what kind of energy we're sending out. So the today, the particular new ebook has like 7-day program. 25 days is a 25-day program. And today, for example, Mondays, we're moving out of control into acceptance, because control is a fear-based, loss-based, I call it disease ego type of energy. And when we're in that, there's no way we can be happy and have peace of mind. And we see even in the pandemic, people wanting to control this thing, which you can't control it.
I definitely agree. Control is an illusion. You know, that's one of the things I always tell myself, that control is an illusion. So anytime I think I have control, I'm like, okay, you're falling into this illusion. But I wanted to, you brought so much information that I appreciate and that I enjoy, but I want to go back to the beginning and what you said. You said you were in a dark place.
Yes.
You gave us some of the aspects and the techniques that you used to get in that dark place. You also said that you were the happiness guy. So I want to walk us briefly through your life. Like, what were you doing? You were doing speaking engagements, different things like that. Your life completely changed. You found yourself in this dark place. Like, what happened to lead you there?
Change and loss. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I was born and raised in Washington, D.C. I lived 18 miles outside the city, and I was leaving my hometown. Mm-hmm. I was leaving the community that I worshiped in for 40 years. I was leaving family. I was leaving business. I was leaving clients. Because everything was, it was lost for me. Mm-hmm. at a very deep level. And I'm coming to some place I didn't know anybody except my family. We came because we have two grandchildren here, my son and his wife, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, love was driving us to make this move, but it was a lot. It was a lot on me personally, and everybody else didn't experience what I did. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the things I learned a long time ago is that the quality of our life is going to be determined by the quality of the questions that we ask. Mm-hmm. So I asked the empowering question, what's the solution? Where do I go to find it? And so, like many of us, we go to our scriptural texts and whatever it is that we read or connect with. And I found this formula. And I've been using this formula to teach, to produce. Like I said, today, we move out of control into acceptance. Acceptance energy is powerful. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the ebooks, acceptance, we're moving out of separation into connection. We're moving out of powerlessness into being hopeful. Mm-hmm. Moving out of sorrow into happiness, pain into joy, and out of judgment into mercy. Mm-hmm. And mercy, forgiveness, love, those are the most powerful energies, right? And hope. And so I've just every day, you know, you read something out of the ebook, you do some affirmations, and then we give you a behavior to do that day to put yourself in that energy, whether it's acceptance or hopeful or mercy. Yesterday was mercy. Mm-hmm. And what I've learned, you know, we all been through stuff. I mean, I've had surgeries, we've all had loss. Mm-hmm. But I learned that everything is a mercy. And if I look for the mercy in the thing, I'm going to find it. Even in this pandemic, you know, we had lost our humanness. Before the pandemic happened, we had lost our humanity, the way we were treating each other, generally speaking, the oppression, oppressive word environments, selfishness was at an all-time high. And then this pandemic hit, and it's like, God is showing us, okay, come back to what's important. Your relationship with me, your relationship with your family, all these other things that you're chasing in the material world may not be what's most important. What's most important is the spiritual aspect and your potential, your power, your energy as a human being. And I believe we're ushering in a time right now for maximizing human potential. The humanness, not white, not black, not male, not female, all these other consciousnesses that we've had are keeping us from human consciousness. And I believe as we move back into seeing ourselves as human beings and really understanding what does that mean? Because we don't necessarily know what it means to be a human being, what it means to come back to our innocence and our purity, what it means to develop relationships with people that don't look like us or that we don't know, so that we can understand not only them, but also understand ourselves better. So I'm a teacher. And I'm a mentor, and we just I write. So it's like, okay, what skills do you have that you can use to be productive and serve and help people? That's what took me out of the darkness. It all starts with service, and that's where it starts with this 25 days, the service piece.
25 days of service. Connection.
I've definitely noticed that people have used this time to reflect and use it like a wake-up call, like being part of the rat race and being busy, and now we're stuck at home. Well, we weren't stuck at home, but you know, but like we were home and we had time to reflect and be slow. And it's come up quite a few times in the moms groups that what are people going to do things different once we're able to get back out and reconnect. And there's a lot of people saying how they never had time to do certain stuff, and now they've had all the time in the world to do those items, and that, you know, once we get back into the re-swing of things, that they're going to make time to do certain things, whether it's, you know, spend more time on themselves, or spend more time reading, or spend more time, you know, in nature, or, you know, make it a thing where once a week they go hiking, you know, so they can have that alone time and that reconnection time. It's been a very hot topic in the moms groups about, you know, what a wake up call this time period was to be home. And there's also been, like, I mean, I know I've seen it, like, Facebook is my social life, I've seen that, you know, like Karen mentioned, especially in the beginning when we were all out of food and at the grocery stores and stuff, a lot of people were setting up impromptu food banks in their neighborhoods. They'd do a pop-up tent and kind of have a food station where people could walk by and get toilet paper or get canned goods or whatnot. I remember that. And there was also real early back in March where a lot of people are going over to elderly people's homes, you know, and giving them food and bringing them meals because there was no food on the shelves. This is back in March when we had nothing. I was eating ice cream cake every day, but that was the only thing in stock. I couldn't help it. I'd go to Target to go get something to eat, and the everything was empty. So I'm like, hey, there's plenty of ice cream cake. So I just started eating that every day. I just bought one yesterday so I could continue this terrible habit I created. Because I can't have dairy, so I'm eating ice cream cake. You see how that's like an oxymoron?
as I listen to you, I'm hearing the formula. It's the people's faith that drove them to do something of service, to be productive, to reconcile a situation, to help other people, and that mutual cooperation. Can you see it?
Yeah.
It's a powerful thing. And we're all kind of doing it maybe intuitively, but I'm teaching it. And you mentioned something really important. Self-care is so important. I started the deep breathing exercises. You know, I studied a little bit of yoga. I'm not good at it. But you know, deep breathing has helped me a lot. And it's because when you start asking for things, see, I would guess as somebody watching this thing, there's certain questions that you've been asking. And one thing that I learned how the spirit works and how life works is that when I show up who I am and be authentic, oftentimes there's an answer to something that somebody's been asking. In other words, you've invited me into your space because of what you've been asking. But we got to be conscious about what we're asking about. That's why these eBooks, these tools, you know, is about us being conscious about sending out asking for mercy, sending out energy, asking for acceptance and hopefulness, sending out love energy. And you all know the law. I mean, we got Dr. Metaphysical here, right? When you send it out, it comes back.
Metaphysical?
I'm talking to Karen.
I know. That's what I was waiting for Dr. Metaphysical to respond.
That's my sense of humor there, Karen. Yeah, but that's just how life is. It's just that we've been bombarded, the climate. As soon as you wake up, you got all of this loss and fear from the pandemic and the racism and all these things, and people just crazy. It's in your face. So every morning I have to do something in addition to my prayers, my spiritual reading. And so these tools that we have help you to do that, to give us some mental and emotional relief.
Yes, I definitely agree. I want to go back to the food banks, especially Karen, because one of the things that I said with a lot going on in the world, when I ran for Long Beach City Council, I didn't see a lot of people out there. I didn't see a lot of people in the community. I didn't see a lot of people who were interested in making a change. And then, you know, the world happens, all this happens, and everybody's like, we got to do this, we got to do that. Like, and it's wonderful what Allison mentioned, people setting up the food banks. But Karen, this is something you've been doing for years, being a part of the community, providing the food bank, helping, which is one of the reasons why I think people are so attracted to you now. It's not always the people who just pop up, though we appreciate it, but people who are consistent in helping and, like Dr. Z said, being of service.
We've had the food bank for about 8 years. It's really grown in the last year, but it started, like November, probably 8 years ago. Our drum priestess, Candy Eaton, called me up and she said, hey, you want to do a food drive thing? And I went, sure. So she says, I'll arrange it. We'll call it Ariel's Table. And I went, well, that's fantastic. Aww. Let's do that. So that we encouraged everybody in November and December to bring in canned goods. And we offered little discounts and stuff if people bring things in. And we collected a lot of stuff. And then the next year she said, you want to do that again? And I went, sure. So we did it for a long time through Second Harvest. And then 1 year they just didn't pick anything up. And we thought, well, that's kind of weird. What are we going to do with all this food? Well, I guess we're the food bank now. And so we just kept it all going year round. And people would come in and they, you know, like, things are really bad right now. Oh, well, do you need something to eat? Well, yeah, I guess. And well, here, look, we have this food. Oh, wow, that's really great. Thanks. Because, like, I won't get paid for another week and a half. And, like, we're out of food. We're out of money. Take what you need, friend. And then somebody else would walk in and go, oh, you know what? I have some extra stuff here. Let me put this in. Thank you. That's wonderful. And then, you know, people, life happens. And sometimes you're not planning for car repairs or, you know, getting laid off of a job or, you know, losing something that contributed to your household and whatever. And so we would have people would just come in and need something, and they would express that to us, like, I need something to get a new job, or I need something to bring money into my life, or whatever. Well, while you're here, look, there's bags, there's stuff, please take what you need. There's no reason for you to be hungry today. We have in the courtyard here at the shop, sometimes we have homeless people show up. And apparently before the people that bought the building own it now, there used to be quite a lot of that here. These guys have kind of gotten a lot of that out, but we'll see people who'll park themselves in the courtyard and they're very clearly hungry. They're very clearly, you know, displaced or whatever. And I will very often, like, go make them a sandwich and pack them a thing with fruit and cheese and something to drink and take it out there. And, you know, we'll have people who just wander by and need something. And, you know, we try to take care of that because nobody should be hungry.
Let me just ask you a question, Karen. And this is, I'm asking this question to make a point, really. But you mentioned the homeless people outside and making a sandwich. Did you go outside and ask them if they were hungry?
No.
Or did you just make a sandwich?
I didn't go out and ask them, but I could look at them and see that they were hungry. And I'd go out and I'd say, you look like a guy that could use a peanut butter sandwich. Mm-hmm. And they'd say, thank you so much. I said, well, and there's a little something else in there too. I mean, this will last you for a minute. That's, you know, the bag got pretty full because stuff falls into bags. And so, you know,
just magic. It just falls into the bag. Yes.
It kind of does. And there's always something to eat here. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got a culinary background. And feeding people is just one of those things I've compulsively done my whole life. My dad was a feeder. Mm-hmm. You know? And I don't like to see people hungry, and I don't like to see people uncomfortable. And if I can make it better, I really like to do that. Mm-hmm. You know.
That just shows your spirit. I mean, that's the reason I asked that question, because when I lost everything, when I lost everything aside from the clothes on my back, and I was going through a lot of different situations that people saw me going through. Later, when I got out of those situations, a lot of times people said to me, they was like, but Sharifa, you know, you didn't ask me for anything. You didn't ask me for help. I'm like, to me, in certain situations, it was like someone watching you drown and they have a life raft but they don't throw you the life raft because you didn't ask for it. You know what I mean? It's like people with a compassionate heart don't always have to wait for someone to ask for the life raft. They look at it. They can tell. They know. They've seen that look before, and they just do whatever they can to be of service, whether that person speaks up or not. And I think that's just one of the most beautiful aspects of who you are, Karen. You are one of the people I know for a fact doesn't wait for people to ask for help. You go out, you're vocal, you speak your point, and you make a difference in the world. So I, for one, applaud you.
Well, thank you.
See, that's that love energy. That's that love energy that takes us out of the fear-based energies, right? It starts with service, and it goes up communication, it goes to connection, all the way up to forgiveness, mercy, and love, which are the highest energies. So it's beautiful. You're beautiful. It's wonderful, you know? Compassion, right? Suppose we started a pandemic of compassion right here, right now, on the Ash Sharifa show. Suppose we started a pandemic, passion, and mercy, and sent that out. What do you think? Can you feel that energy?
That would be lovely.
We could do it. It's a choice, right?
I feel it. I feel it. Allison, what you feel over there?
Well, I feel good. I mean, it's just I feel there's a lot of fear out there. There's a lot of hate. There's a lot of uncertainty, I don't turn on, well, I have TV, but I don't have like news. It doesn't, actually, I don't pay for that tier, so so I don't get to, but I hear enough about what's going on, and it's just been tough. I mean, it's been hard to stay happy even with the normal things that kept us happy. Like last summer, I went through a little spell and I had to do like a new playlist on my music, where I had a lot of Nina Simone in my playlist, and that a lot of that got me up and out of bed. And then when this happened, I tried to listen to the same playlist and it didn't do anything for me. I didn't have any desire to get out of bed. And I just turned off the music at some point because I'm like, this is stupid. But so I just know that in general, there are people that the normal things that got them happy isn't working anymore. So it's just finding a new thing and finding, you know.
But with that said, Allison, you have been one of the people who has just been promoting everyone else. You've been sharing, you've been supporting, you've taken on new ventures. You've even done more interviews and podcasts in the last few months than I've really ever seen you do. Maybe I'm wrong, you know, but I do kind of pay close attention. You have used this time, both you and Karen, have used this time as an opportunity to grow and to expand. And you're shining your light as an example for other people.
Yeah. Honestly, prior to 2020 in general, I didn't do much marketing, kind of along the same lines of Karen, of just kind of throwing things together. And then once it does really well, it's like, okay, well, let's do this right and get a better shop and do this and do that. It's kind of the same thing. For the longest time, I've done just enough business to get by and just enough business to pay the basic bills. Like I'm kind of a minimalist. I don't really have a lot of luxuries because to me, those frivolous, that's just my own personal thing. I choose to spend my money on memories and memory makers than to have a really cool shirt. I know that you like to go to Ross and get those $9 shirts. I pay like $38 for my shirt.
I found a shop right down the street where everything's a dollar. So right now I'm excited. It's like my new favorite place. Like everything in this store is a dollar. Okay. So with $20 later, I done changed my whole closet.
See, I don't even go into any of those places because if I don't need anything, I don't even if it's a dollar, I just don't spend it. Like I just don't. I just I hold on. And anyways, so back to the original thought of just so I'm just such a minimalist, and so I always did just enough business to get by, just enough marketing to get by, and so I wanted 2020 to be awesome. I mean, it was, it is, it's an interesting awesome. And so I really poured in a lot of money for marketing and a lot of networking. And the other thing that I ran into, especially in 2019, is I would meet someone and they'd go, oh, and I'd hand them my card or introduce myself. And they go, oh man, I wish I had known you 3 weeks ago before I moved. Or, oh man, I wish I had met you before I, you know, spent 2 weekends, you know, being mad at my spouse while we organized the garage. There was all these, I wish I had met you sooner. And so then I started, instead of just saying, well, just keep my card, you might need me again, just in case, which I never heard from them again. I said, what were you doing 6 months ago? Who were you networking with? Where were you hanging out? Where do you get your referrals from? Do you go to Yelp? Do you go to Facebook? Do you belong to a networking group? Like where do you get your data from? And they're like, oh, I belong to this networking group and I belong to that networking group, or I find everyone on Google, or I find everyone on Yelp, or I belong to Nextdoor and I only listen to my Nextdoor neighbors, you know? And so then, so in Christmas area, Christmas time of last year, I was like, okay, I'm going to be a part of all those things that people told me that that's where they go. So I upped my game and I'm on like 15 different social media platforms. And I met with an image stylist and said, hey, I'm going to be going to events. I'm going to be going to galas. I'm going to be going to networking at noon type things where pictures are going to be taken. And every time someone sees my picture, I want them to take me seriously. I want them to see that I'm a business professional. You know, so I went through with the image stylist. She told me what colors to wear. I went home, I just got rid of everything that wasn't part of the color scheme, and I got rid of all the other prints. This kind of doesn't count as a print, but I got rid of things that have prints and patterns, and so it's all solid colors, and then so that every time I would go to an event, people would recognize me, that, you know, and that's where branding colors come in and all this other stuff with branding come in. During the pandemic, there was a lot of, or the Safer at Home order, I did a lot of how to make my brand known and go to branding seminars and listening to influencers about branding. That's a whole nother topic. That can be next Monday's topic.
Yes, we'll discuss it next Monday. We already ahead of schedule. So we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who's watching this show live, as well as everyone who's watching in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we are going to start with you, Dr. Z.
Okay, thank you. I think the thing is, but you can get some emotional and mental relief during this time. That we can get out of the fear and loss-based energy. And everything that I've shared on this call and so much more, I've put into an ebook format, meaning I send you a PDF, and you don't have to have a Kindle reader or Nook, none of that stuff. I'll send you the PDF. You can open it up, read it like a book, two-page format. The ebook sells for $10. And I want you to offer to the people on this call, anybody listening to this, get the ebook, do the steps, and I'll also offer a free mentoring call.
Well, thank you.
For up to an hour, you know, that's valued at $500, but you'll get $510 worth of value focusing on your goals with the mentoring call for $10. Ebook will change your life. That's what people are telling me. And you can get it at drzhappiness.com/program. drzhappiness.com/programs. You'll see one, Return to Happiness and Uncertainty. And you'll also see the 25 Days of Living Your Happiness ebook and paperback. And I hope you will allow yourself. There's a reason why we're meeting, all of us today. And so hope you will allow yourself to get some answer or some direction to the questions that you've been asking.
I agree. Thank you for being here, Dr. Z. I believe wholeheartedly that there's a reason why we all connected here today. So I appreciate you. Allison, what do you have for us?
Thank you.
Well, for anyone that didn't make it to watching this live, comment below the word replay so that we know that you watched and we can comment in and answer any of your questions and just kind of get your feedback. I mean, I feel like this show is a constant wheel of transition. And, you know, even me being a guest 2 months ago, 3 months ago, things have changed so much in that short amount of time period. I want to continue to help busy and overwhelmed people in Southern California. So that's Orange County, Inland Empire, and parts of LA. I try to stay within an hour driving radius of where I live. The funny thing about LA is it takes me an hour to get there and 2 hours to get back. I never understand that math, but it happens every time. I drive out to North Hollywood and it takes me, you know, 50 minutes to get out there. It takes me 2.5 to get back. I never understand that math. But anyways, I try to service everyone and, you know, and the best way to get in contact with me. Hi, Jack. So the best way to get in contact with me is through my website, which is AllisonAlmond.com. Or if you want to, you know, search me out, you can just go into Google the organization Maven. I'm on, like I said, 15 different social media platforms. So I should be, like, when your Google search comes up, I should be all of the first two pages. Like, no doubt, it's all me. Yeah, I just want to keep helping people, and I just want to keep connecting them and kind of just see where this path is going. You know, I have aspirations of being on TV as a part of a remodeling show of some sort. So that's a lot of trying to build my presence online so people know who I am, so that when I do show up on TV, they're like, oh yeah, I already know Allison. She's been on Roundtable and she's been on Live with Leo and she's been on, you know, she's been on this event and she's been on with the celebrity realtor. Like, I want to be recognized. I want to be known as being an expert organizer, helping people, having compassion for people, just making a difference in through dealing with people's clutter.
I think that's beautiful. I think that's wonderful. And I definitely think that you have the know-how, the experience to do your own show. You know how I am. I grab a camera and make that happen. You got a lot of people around you, like Krista Benson, who has her own production company. You might want to consider giving her a call, reach out to her, see if she can assist you with your project, because, you know, you can do it now. Just do it, make it happen. I love when you're here on the show, you talked a little bit about taking up two pages on Google. So when you come back the next time, because you last time you told us a lot more about how you got your search engine results. So we'll talk about that next Monday when you return. So thank you, Allison. Karen, what do you have? Karen and Jack, what do you have for us? Hi, Jack.
Hey, Jack. Well, here's the thing. I don't know who of our people would be watching, mm-hmm. but anybody that wants to come in and see us, mm-hmm. if they mention Sharifa in this thing here through the end of the week, which is the 31st, we will give them 13% off their entire purchase.
Oh, wow. I love it. Thank you.
Nice.
You know, and anybody that wants to come in and donate things, food, toiletries, baby needs, those kinds of things to the food bank, that would have certainly be really appreciated. I'm also starting to collect small household items like kitchen appliances and whatever for people who are getting started and whatever. I gave away a coffee maker the other day. Somebody walked in and said, I'd like to get some of your really good coffee, but I don't have a coffee maker, but I'll come back when I do. And I went, hold the phone. I've got like the back room. I thought they weren't working, but it turns out we need to use the paper filters because they're poorly designed and the filter thing doesn't matter. Got a coffee maker. I sold some coffee. It was a great day. If you need a hug, come and see me. I'm a world-class hugger. I promise I don't have cooties, and I promise I don't care if you do. You know, just be nice to everybody. Like, don't be an asshole. It's really kind of a simple thing. I think that is the basis for most world religions.
Yes.
You know, do unto others and all that other good stuff. Just don't be a jerk. Be a nice person. Be a person that your mother would be proud of. Mm. All right?
Yes.
Love is the law.
Yes.
Dr. Z.
Yes.
Would it be possible to get copies of your book for my store?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, we will talk privately at some point because I need to read that, and I think probably everybody else should too, because happy's good.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, I love that.
All right.
You are such a blessing. The opportunities here are such a blessing. I'll go ahead and post out on all my social media your information about the food bank, as well as the 13% discount. If they mention Sharifa at the Dragon and Rose, make that happen through Friday, July 31st. I thank you all for being here on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I especially thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. But don't just watch the show. Don't just share the show. We definitely appreciate your support. But go ahead and contact our guests. Pick up a copy of the ebook, your book, visit the Dragon and the Rose, or maybe this is a wonderful time to go ahead and get your garage organized. I don't know, but I know Allison can do it for you. Please support our guests. And if you are interested in being a guest, please visit the website at AskSharifa.com. And we'll see you here until tomorrow at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.